right now. Power up suits and welcome in to another episode of The After Party. My name is Will, and with me today we have the one and only Morlock herself, Queen of the Morlocks, Lexa White. What's happening, Lexa?
Not much. Been on a lot of exciting podcasts recently and going to be on a lot of exciting podcasts soon, as well as getting to commentate some of the top 16 games.
Yeah, it's pretty great. You've been all over the place, and it's quite wonderful because, as all the suits out there that have been listening for a while know, you have a lot of great takes on this game, and your personality just shines through. You're such a bright person in this community that I think that I'm just glad to have you on again. I'm glad you could find the time to bring it back to the OG over here.
Yeah, this is where I got my start.
But so Lexa, we've got a lot to talk about today. And right before we hit record, basically, we had a reveal come out. And that reveal was for the Moon Knight card. Mm-hmm. So we've got to do a hot take on that. So, but tell the suits, what we're going to do is we're going to do a hot take on Moon Knight right now. We're going to do our regular after party episode. And then we are going to next week, hopefully get the Blade card. And then for your regular House Party Protocol episode next week, you'll get a Blade and Moon Knight breakdown. So, Lexa, hot take on Moon Knight. What do you got?
I am really excited by him. Reroll All is a very powerful set of wards.
Oh, yes. And I'm really excited for this character. I have to go ahead and say before I give my full hot take here, I'm biased. All right, Moon Knight is one of my favorite characters, so I look at this card and I think there are some things thematically I might have an issue with, but at the same time, holy crap, I love this character and I think he's going to be one of the most fun characters on the tabletop, but also really useful on the tabletop.
Yeah, no, I think he's going to be a lot of fun and really just interesting to play overall.
Exactly. Completely agree. Cannot wait, and tune in next week for a full breakdown of Mark Spector's card here. So with that, Lexa, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about CP41, Cyclops and Storm.
Yeah, so these characters, when they first got announced back at Gen Con in 2020, it was a big deal, right? X-Men, mutants coming to Marvel Crisis Protocol. And since they got announced, and we've had, you know, basically a year to play with them, not quite a year, I guess, but we've had all this time to play with them, but we went through a big pandemic, right? So people weren't really playing in person. So we only had the exposure to these characters in a digital format, like on TTS. And I think that kind of maybe informed some of the way we think about them, because while TTS is great, everybody does a great job over there, it still is a little impersonal. And bad experiences, I feel like, can get amplified when you're playing in that somewhat impersonal digital space, maybe? Does that make sense?
I can see that.
Yeah. So, like, people might have had some bad experiences with X-Men, and maybe they have since been somewhat overlooked. So that's what we're going to talk about today, Storm and Cyclops. And these are two characters that I'm excited to have a discussion on, because they've been around for long enough now where we kind of know some stuff about them at this point. And Lexa, let's jump right in and start with the man, the myth, the legend, holder at one point of the Phoenix Force, Cyclops.
One of many holders of the Phoenix Force at that point.
Exactly, exactly, yes. Let's go ahead and go on record. Cyclops in the comics is way more of a badass than his, like, cartoon iteration. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. If you haven't read some more of the, like, interesting Cyclops stories, highly recommend, because he is definitely much more of a badass than I think people think.
I think they didn't really figure out how to do Cyclops well until, like, 2005.
Very fair. Very fair. Well, you know, he was a one-note character for a long time. I mean, it was the 90s, after all.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I mean, I say that, it's the 90s. He's been around since the 60s, but yeah, the 90s is where he came to prominence, I guess you used to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lexa, before playing any games, What were your thoughts on Cyclops as a character?
I thought he was interesting. This box really got overshadowed by a couple of the other boxes around it.
Exactly.
During initial release, for me. Specifically the Beast Mystique and the Sabretooth Wolverine boxes.
Yeah. I think that's really fair. Saying that they got overshadowed and it's two leaders in this box is kind of crazy, I think, but it's really accurate because you had the Beast and Mystique box that came out that had some really powerful effects in it, like Deception with Mystique and having another leader for the Brotherhood in that. And then you had the Magneto box that came out, and that was the hotness, you know, and everybody saw Magneto. I'm making a generalization here, so I want to go ahead and say that. But I think one of the things that happened to overshadow this box was everybody saw Magneto and they saw, ooh, sixth threat, powerhouse. Let's focus on that. And the argument can be made fairly, I think, that both Cyclops and Storm at times in their respective mutant careers have been on that level.
Yeah, specifically Storm way more than Cyclops.
True. Like, exactly.
Cyclops is getting adjusted by the Phoenix Force. That's a little different than him doing it on his own.
True.
But Storm can do it on her own.
Exactly. So all of that to say, part of the thing when I looked at this character and my thoughts on Cyclops at first was not bad. Like, solid. He's got the range energy. Optics Devastation is going to be awesome. And Field Leader is going to be powerful. Like, that's kind of what my initial thoughts were. And that's it, kind of. Like, I was just like, he's going to be good. Like, I thought he was going to be really good. And after I got those games in, though, he's just kind of... wah, wah.
And here I will disagree with you.
I want to hear how you feel about him once you got those games in.
I think he's solid. I think he's exceptionally solid, and I think some of the things that we thought were going to be good on his card are good. I think Field Leader is amazing.
It's a great ability.
I think the thing that most people missed was that quick draw.
I think that's fair.
And I think that quick draw, especially when combined with in Storm's leadership, gets nasty.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and read what quick draw is, because it is kind of a big bit of text here. So it's very similar to Hawkeye's, but a little different. So quick draw for 2 power is reactive when this character is targeted by an attack and the attacker is not within range 2 of this character. This character may use this superpower. Instead of rolling dice equal to its defense, it rolls 5 defense dice. Then, if this character suffers no damage from the attack, after the attack is resolved, the attacker suffers 2 damage. So, Lexa, while I read that and I say, yeah, in Storm's leadership, it's fine, but, like, how good is that versus, like, how Hawkeye does it, where Hawkeye just gets to make an attack, right?
It's not about as much about the attack back. The damage back is nice. It's the way that it allows him to mitigate damage. And specifically, it allows him to be a backpoint player in a way that is very safe. And forces rotations out from your opponent.
Okay, that's interesting, because playing him on a back line, I mean, he's got the range 4 Optic Blast and a range 5 Optic Devastation. So, yeah, playing back makes sense with him. And I think that there is some stuff I'm going to talk about here very shortly that I think make him better now. But I look at Quick Draw and I think if he suffers no damage and rolling 5 defense dice, I still just, like, you're relying on the dice, you're spending power for no guarantee of result. And as a character that has a lot of things to spend his power on, I just don't love that. You know what I mean? Like I'd rather be able to save that power for a Field Leader. I'd rather be able to save that power for Hit and Run. Like, I think Hit and Run is so strong, and on Cyclops, it's one of the things that I overlooked initially on him. And since I've been playing more games with Sin and other characters that have Hit and Run and Cyclops, I've actually gotten some games in with him lately that to me is one of his ways to stay very safe, is to do hit and run. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I'm with you on quick draw. I think quick draw is good, but it's just, I don't know. I still don't think it creates like this. That's the secret sauce, if you will. You know what I mean?
Well, and it's I think Cyclops is interesting because he's hot take here. I don't think his best place is his home affiliation.
Hot take. I completely agree with you. Well, we're going to talk about affiliations in just a second, mm-hmm. but let's talk about the character of Cyclops here. And what do you find that he does well on the tabletop? Like, where is his bread buttered, so to speak?
He's very good anti-control tech. And he provides interesting options for affiliation math in a really interesting way. And I'm going to talk about spoilers for the Fast Nick versus Ulysses top 16 match, which I had the luxury of commentating. Fast Nick has been playing X-Men throughout the entire cut and made it into top cut with them. And he brought out at 14 points a squad of Cable, Scarlet Witch, Cyclops.
I can see that being really nice.
Yeah. And it was a really fascinating game. I won't spoil the results, but I definitely think there's some strong ideas there that just need to be worked on a little bit more. And especially replacing Scarlet Witch with Jean Grey now, when she becomes available, will make those ideas even better.
Interesting.
But the way he affects especially their low point teams to be able to play their really tall and powerful members is very important.
Interesting. So you're saying as in like a low threat value, so that 14, 15 threat value, and then allowing him to play those expensive models.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That really give power to the affiliation.
Yeah, because using the X-Men blue affiliation to say, you know, throw some power around so you can get those big attacks off. Or in the case of like a Cable usually has a pretty decent amount of power. He can throw some power to Cyclops for the optic devastation. Same thing with Scarlet Witch, usually has a decent amount of power, throw some power over to do other things. So I get that. I could see that. And
also the ability to field leader a Cable who has a medium base, so that field leader ends up doing more for him than for other characters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He ends up becoming this real interesting support piece in Towers List.
In Towers List. Interesting. Okay, so what is Towers List when you say? Is that like what you're talking about with like 2-5 threat characters and him?
Yeah, Tower Lists are going thin with really expensive pieces.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's the opposite of a wide list.
Right. I've never heard the phrase Towers List, so now we have a new phrase. Love it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So what he does well then in that case is, you're saying like a support piece, and I agree with you. I think that Cyclops field leader is so great. Being able to within range 4 move someone short, advance someone short, is very strong, and arguably on the level with like the Master of the Cube that Red Skull has. Maybe even better. The only difference is place versus advance, so you have to take into account terrain and stuff, but mm-hmm. the short advance is longer than the range 2 place. So I'm about field leader. I think that field leader is what makes Cyclops tick, and if you can just stay back, get enough power to consistently use field leader, you're going to have a good Cyclops experience.
Mm-hmm. And the way I view it is it's a consistent climbing gear.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really fair. That's really fair. And being able to just have it on tap, conceivably, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I think that he does really well is being back, being that support character. And everybody loves a hammer. You know, we can all agree that there's every character in the game loves to have a hammer on them to do more damage, right? I think Cyclops is one of those characters that loves having a hammer on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And whenever I've played him on that Crisis and gotten him that early hammer, that's when he does the most work for me. And I think that there's something to be said for like a gunline style list, which is kind of what it sounds like was trying to be done in that match, was like Cable range 5, Cyclops and Scarlet Witch both range 4 and just blast away.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you're on the right kind of crisis. So was that crisis selection, was it, you said it was 14, so was it Sword Base or was it Senators?
Sword Base.
See, way better on Sword Base than on Senators, because on Senators, someone can get that thing and run away.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on Sword Base, they kind of got to be right there.
Yeah.
So I really like that, and it's something that I've been toying with in my list construction lately, is the gun line type of thing. But with that, though, Lexa, I think we've kind of, I maybe have dunked on him a little bit here, but what are his faults, though?
His fault is that, how do I phrase this? Sometimes you can have a really bad game with him. Because he does not have inherent power gen, sometimes you can just roll blanks.
Mm-hmm.
That's rare from my personal experience, but it can happen.
Yeah. I think for me, his biggest faults are, it's something I've been running into with Cable as well, as an example, but Five Dice Builder is really great. Like, I've gone on record multiple times, Five Dice Builders, really super good. Way better than Four Dice Builders. Yeah. All right. But like, it feels like with these characters that are built around these Five Dice Builders, and it's the only way that they can do anything, and then you roll into that they have this wild effect. Like, I understand the statistics of the dice and the probabilities of these things should trigger X amount of times and this and that. But it just feels like when you're going with Cyclops, that at least lately for me, it's been, oh, hey, blanks, like you mentioned, or, oh, you've got Zemo standing there for a reroll. Oh, but you rolled 2 skulls. Great. You know, and it just doesn't feel to like it has the impact that some of these other things do. And it's like, I look at a character like Black Panther, right? Black Panther is a 4 threat character who plays a completely different role than Cyclops does. But Black Panther gets in there, he rolls his 5 dice, which always seem to do a ton of damage. Again, I know that this is all RNG. I'm mad at RNG, not at the character. I get that. But like, you look at Cyclops and you think, oh, he's got a wild push. I'm going to control this objective by pushing someone away from it. Oh, wait, I didn't get the wild. Oh, I only had 1 hit. It just feels like that kind of thing just seems to happen to me with Cyclops. And we were talking on the Discord, the House Party Protocol Discord, not that long ago, which, if you're interested out there, Suits, and you want to check it out, go to patreon.com/houseparty protocol. Sign up to be a patron over there, and you get access to our Discord, where we have a pretty chill time, nice little conversations like this, where somebody was talking about getting a character to work. And in this instance, it was specifically Domino. They're like, I can't get Domino to work. And look, there are some characters that you just won't have good luck with.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, Cyclops for me has been that character. Like, unless I've boosted him somehow, the luck factor just hasn't worked for me. And like, he doesn't really have that many faults, though. Like, that's the thing. Like, when you look at him, he's got a 4 physical defense. He's got 6 stamina on both sides of his card. Like, he's got some good kit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where just getting him to work on the battlefield, I think that you pay a little bit of the leadership tax. You pay, I think, a bit of a tax for Optic Devastation with his cost. Like, I don't know. It's hard to say. Go ahead.
I think some of this is also optics, and this is something, yes, I've been thinking about a lot recently. It's with the MODOK discussion and the MODOK Cable discussion, and how kind of lukewarm people were on Cable because he wasn't MODOK. And we're constantly comparing these characters to the anomalies in this game rather than the status quo.
That's fair.
I think that is bad for how we view and assess characters, because then it puts our expectation that this character is going to be an anomaly rather than this character is going to fit into the status quo. And I think especially at a casual level, we should be much more cognizant of comparing these characters closer to status quo characters, things like Loki or things like Daredevil or stuff like that, rather than always comparing to Black Panther or Enchantress or Medusa, who are the cream of the crop and the anomalies in how this game is balanced.
Yeah, I think that's really fair, actually. And so it is a bit unfair for me to compare Cyclops to a Black Panther, because while I feel like specifically that Black Panther is balanced, he is an upper echelon style character. And I feel like that Cyclops has some untapped potential here. And I'm kind of, again, kind of dunking on him, and I feel kind of bad about it because he's a character that I like. And on the tabletop, I mean, he doesn't do work for me necessarily, but he's also doing stuff, and you have to deal with him or he's gonna do stuff to you. So like, I'm not upset about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it just doesn't get my fire burning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so with that though, Lexa, like, how can we discuss Cyclops here in a fair way that is, you know, like you said, trying to compare him to the cream of the crop is not fair.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not the worst four threat character in the game. He's really not. And
yeah,
he's a character that if you get him on the tabletop and get that kind of RNG on your side just a little bit, you're going to have a lot of fun and he's going to do a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
And I will say, like, don't sleep on hit and run with him. Like, if you've got the power for it and the choices, maybe try to get one more power and do a field leader or use two power to do a hit and run, and then you maybe are going to gain some power from that. I'm telling you, hit and run is great because you can be able to do that attack from that range, maybe push someone off a point, and then go take that point yourself. So I really like hit and run quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. I have been a big fan of hit and run for a long time since I'm a Green Goblin player.
Exactly. Exactly. So definitely, this is a character that I would say, don't sleep on him. I'm maybe sounding like I'm poo-pooing him a little bit, and I'm really sorry for that because, again, I don't dislike this character. I don't dislike him. I just haven't gotten the maximum out of him lately. But I'm going to go ahead and give a little bit of a tease here. We've got some fun stuff coming up that Cyclops is going to be a very, very big part of. So,
ooh,
yeah, stay tuned for that. So just throw that out there. Just be ready, suits, because there's an announcement coming next week with some fun stuff. Anyways, Lexa, let's talk affiliations with Cyclops.
And I want to talk about what I think his actual true home is, even though he's not affiliated.
What's this?
Avengers.
100%.
This guy is so good in Avengers, it's not even funny.
No, honestly, you are so right. Like, and this is Captain America, Steve Rogers, Avengers.
Yep.
Because I'm 100% with you. He's ridiculously good in that Avengers, you know, style game. And go ahead with your case and then I'll pick up on it.
So this has been something that I've been thinking about for a while. I did an episode on Cyclops with Justy, a local community member of the UK scene of Marvel Crisis Protocol, and we boot up this list and then he kept giving me reports of like, no, this is the movement options that he provides to an Avengers team is so incredible between his own hit and run for one value and field leader for two. On top of adding in effects like Beast with his super cheap throw and stuff, can really make a devastating control lineup in Avengers. On top of at the 20 points, you can play him in Avengers with Loki in the Mind Gem.
Oof.
And just be the meanest person.
That's a level of control that is just so mean. And I so love it.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's interesting that you mentioned control list with Cyclops, because I think Cyclops, take the Loki part out of it, but if you flip it around and you think of control as in you're controlling your own team from one character, I think that's a really interesting way to think about control. And yeah, he's got the push and the other stuff you're mentioning. I'm with you on that. But like, maybe that's where we have to start thinking about Cyclops, is the form of control he brings is one that, when you say support character, doesn't really cover it.
Yeah. He's as much control denial as anything else, because he can actively undo attempts to control your team.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think that's really interesting. And with Avengers, I'm with you. I think that he's really great there. I think pairing him with anyone that can do a bodyguard is super good, because then you quick draw and it's when he's targeted. So you spend for quick draw, then you can spend for the bodyguard, and boom, he doesn't take any damage. And now that other character's taking 2 damage.
Sadly, no. That was clarified in when Proxima Midnight came out by the AMG staff. It does not work like that. You have to actually roll the dice for that secondary effect to happen.
Darn it. I knew that. I just wanted that clarification on the recording. No. Yeah, so just so everybody knows, yeah, that would be amazing. But no, you can't actually do it that way. And I think that when you put him into Avengers, though, being able to have access to these things for cheaper costs is really where he gets tuned up. Turned on? Can I say turned on? I don't know.
It's your podcast.
Then I'm saying that's where he gets turned on. So, yeah, I'm with you there. I think that putting a 4-threat character out of affiliation is one of those, like, taboo things in MCP sometimes. But really, it's nothing to shy away from if you're out there and you're playing. And I think Avengers is a great spot for him. I think that right now, Sam Spam is kind of like the thing with Avengers, and it's really good and really fun. But don't sleep on OG Cap and Cyclops here. I think those are two good choices. I think places like Cabal are good for him, because then you're all of a sudden living the dream with an Optic Devastation and then getting power back for it, which is just so great. Mm-hmm. And anywhere that he can help his power generation is going to be a fun time. But for me currently, everybody's probably expecting me to say Web Warriors. And look, I mean, he's fine there, but no. Like, I'm not putting him in my Web Warriors for a change. I don't think it's terrible, but I'm also not doing it. With that being said, the new hotness is X-Force for me. And Cyclops in X-Force is something that I'm really enjoying currently. And I really like the idea of, like I said earlier, making a gun line with him. And I think X-Force really helps with that. If you have Cyclops and Cable, and then you throw in like Domino for her grenade bounce to incinerate people, well, Cyclops and Cable get that much stronger there. And then, I mean, just Domino in general is great. And then you've got Deadpool, who can pop off some bangs. And you're hitting people from range 4 all the time. And that is really valuable, especially when characters have to get there to attack you.
Yeah, for sure.
So I really like him there. And that's kind of a list idea I've been toying with, more or less, I could say. And so far, it's interesting. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
Any other affiliation notes for Cyclops?
I think he makes a solid defender. Just getting to turn his shot into Mystic, especially paying 5 for a Mystic range 5 beam.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like, so, you know, I'm really with you. I think that a really good place for him is defenders as well, because being able to get an Optic Devastation and now you've hexed an entire team sounds really great. But really, just being able to target the weakness of a character, and then also it's if you deal damage, they place that hex condition. And while maybe I poo-pooed his builder just a second ago, 5 dice is consistent that you're going to push through 1 damage. I mean, it's fairly consistent in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're able to target someone's weaker defense, or if they're all 3s across the board too, okay, fine. Either way, I think that's a nice spot. And it's interesting because I think defenders is another one of those like kind of untapped potential areas. Like everybody thinks about pentathletes and all this stuff, but mm-hmm. I think that, and if you don't know what that is, just go to the Xavier Protocols blog and check out his article on the pentathletes. But I think that people splashing into Defenders is kind of like what makes them tick in a lot of ways. So I do agree with you. I think Cyclops is very interesting there. And with that, though, we've got to answer Nate's favorite question. What's that question, Lexa?
Has he gotten better, worse, or stayed the same?
All right. So this is a hard one for me. I think I say that about literally all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But for real, Cyclops is one of the hardest ones for me to pin down with that, because I think I'm going to say slight better. Like, he's gotten slightly better because X-Force is out, and I think he works well there. So it's just a bit of better. But I don't think it's like he's gotten better. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think he's a more interesting piece as we're getting more of a control-heavy lineup, specifically control aspects that are superpowers. So he matches up more cleanly to it than, say, versus your traditional Wakanda who's getting them off of free attacks.
Right.
So I think he's got him better insofar that the things he plays well against are the things that are suddenly becoming more prevalent in the meta through things like Enchantress most specifically, but also the likes of Cassandra Nova, who just came out, and Mysterio, who have their like trap effects that also can cause movement, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that's really fair. And shout out to Cassandra Nova because she's awesome.
Oh yeah, I've gone to play a game with her, and while I did not win that because of a doomed prophecy, Quicksilver living on 1 HP, it was an amazing game.
That's awesome.
And
that
Cassandra
like
did amazing stuff.
Yeah, I think she's super good, but that's not the discussion we're having right now. And yeah, so I think that's a fair take. It's one of those things where I think that the X-Men affiliation will continue to be filled out. And as it gets filled out, I think Cyclops will maybe see more relevance. Like, we'll just have to see what the characters bring. I mean, there is an untapped reservoir of mutants out there in the ether.
Oh, yeah.
So who knows what they could bring. And the last thing I'm going to say about Cyclops is I think that he got a little bit overshadowed by his box mate as well.
Mm-hmm.
One might say that he was shrouded in fog because Storm was taking the spotlight.
Yeah.
Segways. All right. Let's talk about Storm here. And she brings a somewhat complicated leadership to the X-Men side of things. She brings the X-Men gold leadership. Yep. And there's two things that happen with this leadership, and this is why I think that there's untapped potential within the X-Men, specifically because of what I'm going to talk about with Storm. She does two things. So first, once per round, a character that is within range 2 of another allied character can place within range 1 of the chosen character. So if you've played a lot of Medusa, it's basically once per round Royal Decree. Basically.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody looks at that part of this leadership and says, that's awesome, extra movement, let's put big bases in there and let's throw people up the board. You know, like thinking in those terms. And then they read the second part of her leadership where it's, additionally, when an allied character is targeted by an attack and the attacker's not within range 2, the allied character has covered. So basically all the time cover as long as they're not within range 2. And to me, that is the part of the leadership that you want to build around, not building around the extra movement shenanigans.
Storm is an interesting beast to me because I found that the cover is really, really fascinating, but there's a lot of counterplay to cover out there. Your Hawkeyes, your Doc Ocks, they all have ignore cover in very crucial ways. And that movement ability is very fascinating and can lead to some interesting team building exercises that make certain characters that don't get a lot of love get a little bit more love, specifically Mr. Black Dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
But she... I feel like this her leadership is at odds with itself at times.
Okay.
Because one part allows them to go in more aggressively by mm-hmm. using that free movement to get into range 2 for attacks or whatever range you need for your attacks. And then that other thing is trying to keep you out of being aggressive, keeping you away from the team, your opposing team. Right. I just feel like sometimes they're at odds with each other.
Yeah, I think that's really fair. And I'm kind of breaking from our normal flow with talking about Storm because I feel like that this is her leadership is where we have to start with this character. So let mm-hmm. me just go ahead and say that. And it's interesting that you bring up things like Black Dwarf and stuff because, again, on our Discord not that long ago, I had this discussion of like everyone when Storm first released, it was, oh, Black Dwarf, put Black Dwarf in here. And I never quite got that. Like I tried it and I understand the idea of, well, now you're getting Black Dwarf up the board further. You know, he's a big base, so you get that extra bit of movement for characters and this and that. But I still just don't quite understand why he was the chosen one for X-Men. I was wondering if you could elaborate on that.
Because he's the only one that's a four threat, so it makes him the easiest to splash of the big bases.
Okay. Well, there you go. There you go. But do you think that trying to shoehorn in a Black Dwarf into this list with Storm, with X-Men, other than just he's just the cheapest big base, do you think that that makes sense?
I do. In a sense, he's also one that wants to see it set at range 2 and is slow, so he benefits from the affiliation just as much as the affiliation benefits from him in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And just, how do I phrase this? And giving this affiliation, which is very throw light, a size 4 throw is very good.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. I think Black Dwarf is a character that is a good character that just kind of doesn't really have a great home. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that in X-Men, it was kind of like, oh yeah, put him in there because of the reasons you just listed. But for me, and it's, I think maybe it's a playstyle thing, it just never made sense to me because, yeah, he's big and tough and you got it, but he's just so easily controlled that you have to go out of your way to keep him from being controlled. And with X-Men, it kind of exacerbated that a little bit. Like, okay, well, now you've got to have a partner to hang out with Black Dwarf the entire game or else he's just going to be messed with.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that is... How do I phrase this? I think that Black Dwarf specifically curtails your... it sets up what style of game you're going to play, and when you play that game, it works very well. If you're doing your split Cs where you have a split force already and that's inherently what the direction you're going for, cool, great. I don't think he plays into every single game plan that this affiliation has, but I think in the places where he plays well, he plays exceptionally well in this affiliation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. I think that trying to kind of hold down an area, so to speak, he's going to be very good at that. He's a very tough character, and you don't want to mess with him mm-hmm. one-on-one in most situations because he is quite beefy mm-hmm. and can put out some hurt. But anyways, let's now talk about Storm as the character here. And before getting any games in, Lexa, I got to say, I was just kind of on Storm as well. I mean... Like, I looked at her card, I said, that leadership is great. Being able to just always have cover is fantastic. But Eye of the Storm costs a lot for what mm-hmm. her power generation is going to be. Because with her Lightning Bolt, only being 4 dice, yes, it's range 4. So you're living some fun there. And she has stealth, basically.
Yes, annoyingly.
Right. But... the fact that it's only 4 dice, you're not going to have reliable power generation because if she had Lightning Bolt or Ice Blizzard, one of those two that could just give her 1 net power, that would, I feel like, go a long way to making her that much stronger. Because what you want to do with her, I think, is you want to use Eye of the Storm as much as possible with her lightning bolt. And, like, I'd rather Eye of the Storm cost you 2 power and just give you 1 extra die than cost you 3 power to get the 2 dice. Because then you could reliably get it, and then you help her chain into it a little more. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, without playing any games, I read her card, and I was just kind of like, what does this character want to do? And what did you think?
I am very much in the same regard. Again, this entire pack got drowned out by others around it. So I was just like, huh, that's cute for the affiliation. And then I was like, but I don't really see what exactly calls to me about this character in a sense of why would I play her in anywhere but her leadership?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of the place I am in general with this character, is she has one of the best leaderships in the game, arguably. I mean, it's arguable, sure, but like, it's a really great leadership. But outside of that, the character as a whole, like, once I got the games in with her, I'm like, I'm literally trying to protect her so that I keep her leadership. And if I don't and she goes down, she usually doesn't end up doing anything for me. Like, it's just try to hold her back and keep her alive so that I continue to benefit from the leadership. That's kind of like my thing that I've done with her, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's wrong, but I also feel like that protecting Storm so that you continue to benefit from cover for the entirety of the game is just too powerful to try to give up, you know?
It's a complicated question.
Right.
There are certain matchups where that affiliation does not matter for that second half.
Yep.
I'm thinking specifically of Criminal Syndicate, which is an affiliation that basically is only range 2 attackers for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So that affiliation does functionally nothing for most of the game.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. And so it's like, it's so matchup dependent. And that's where I think that everybody gravitated towards Storm initially, but based on the matchup and something like that, I'd rather have Cyclops and feed people power for their spenders.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's such a complicated thing. And this character is one that just based on top to bottom character, I still haven't quite figured out what her role on the battlefield is outside of her leadership, because I want to take her to stay affiliated X-Men because she's a 3 cost. And if I'm running like a Cyclops led X-Men, well then she's generally an important part of that because of trying to get as many, like, just, it's a playstyle thing. I like to have as many models on the board as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I like her there. But with that being said, I think that there's something here in this character that maybe has been overlooked because of, like I said earlier, with trying to protect the leadership, trying to protect her as a character. Like, I think that Lightning Bolt, maybe we're looking at it the wrong way, Lexa. And maybe we need to think Lightning Bolt is important just to try to get the shock out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really strong. Being able to take an attack die away from opponents is really good. It's a really strong effect. And I think trying to put that out there as much as possible, and then if you're throwing a Cable out there, for instance, and you have Cable in your X-Men trying to shock and incinerate, now your opponents are down a die on each side. I think that's really strong. It's kind of like a walking bitter rivals, possibly, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that maybe that is where we need to start thinking about the conversation around Storm needs to be, is how do we get the most out of this character other than just her leadership? And I think that's a big part of it. I think trying to do everything you possibly can to build her power, so advanced R&D, stuff like that, to get an early Eye of the Storm so that you can either build more power with Lightning Bolt, or do an ice blizzard and boost it, because being able to apply the stun special condition in a beam 3, as long as it does damage, and it's going to be likely to do damage with 6 dice versus 4, so I think that there's a lot of possible interactions here that can happen. You've just got to kind of force it. And I'm that's what I'm going to try to do as I get more games in with X-Men, because I feel like that playing Storm meekly and trying to kind of hold her back and not really expose her too much. Like, yeah, you don't want to expose her because she is going to go down. But at the same time, I feel like you can put her up there to get those lightning bolt shots and stuff like that in a safe-ish way.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
So what would you say then surprised you once you got those games in? And what do you think she does well?
I am going to try and do my best not to be negative Nancy on this one.
No, it's. I think it's fair. It's fair to be a negative Nancy at times. We, you know, as much as we love this game, Lexa, we also can be critical. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's. I have been severely underwhelmed by her.
Yeah.
It's even with the leadership. I have not been impressed by the leadership overall. I think it's unique and has a place in the game, but I don't think it's one of the best leaderships in the game.
Okay.
And that has kind of put me in this interesting space where I'm not sure what to do with Storm, so I end up not playing her a lot.
Yeah, I get that. It's, every time I look at it, I'm kind of like, do I want to go with Storm here? You know? And it's one of those things that I'm kind of forcing myself to play more X-Men right now because they're some of my favorite characters. And there are brighter minds in the MCP community than me that I'm sure have put these characters through their paces. But I know there's got to be something that we're missing.
Yeah. Until Storm has her mohawk, I'm not quite interested in her yet.
That's fair. That's very fair. And I think that a lot of things that we look at with this character also come from a place of, this is an Omega level threat mutant that doesn't do much Omega level threatening on the tabletop.
Yeah. The Storm is, to get into actual comic stuff, Storm is one of those ones that, like, depending on the story, goes from like one end of the power scale to the other.
Oh yeah.
So it doesn't feel like a disservice to me to place her at the low end of the power scale, because there are times where she is within the comics. It's very much up to the writer, and her being a super, super powerful character has only really come about since the 2000s, and a lot of the material they're pulling from is from before then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That's really fair. And, I just... I don't know. I just... She's a character that I really want to love, and like I said, I'm going to try to play her in some different ways coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at her, like I look at what is she not going to do for my team? And one of the things you got to think about when you're playing Crisis Protocol is how is this activation scoring me victory points?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, whatever you're doing in the game, you should be building towards scoring victory points. And with a character like Storm here, I look at her and I say, all right, if I'm going to play her a little more aggressive, maybe if I'm on a B shape, okay, great. Bs are great for her. I don't mind having a 3-threat character just kind of sit back and be on a secure point, score me points. Same thing with Ds. Ds are great because she can just sit back and score points and I don't feel bad about it, right? But if I'm playing something like a C, or something where there's a fight that's got to happen, right? Like a gamma or demons or something. Many different options for fighty scenarios, right? How is Storm going to score me victory points? And I think it's by building up to a lightning bolt with Eye of the Storm, or building up to an ice blizzard with Eye of the Storm, and trying to maneuver her on a wing where she can maybe only have to go one-on-one with a weaker character.
The other thing A thing that I have thought about that I actually think she does very well is I think she, specifically with her four energy defense, is very good at spider portals and origin bombs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anything that you have to use energy defense for, she's mm-hmm. really great with in terms of scoring points. And spider portals is one that I really like with her, but I don't play a lot with X-Men currently. But it's one that I'm definitely going to have to put in the rotation because I think you're 100% right on that.
Mm-hmm. And just the flight mobility allowing her to get around, and then the four dice means you have I'm pretty sure it's about a 50-50 shot of getting two successes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is solid odds. It's what the sword base is at this point.
Yeah, no joke. Sword base is so popular for good reason, and it's so good. But yeah, I'm with Storm. It's a character that you gotta think about how you're gonna be using her to get you those VPs, and mm-hmm. and that is where I think you can kind of get caught up in. It's like, well, she's just gonna sit over here and be my leadership battery, but she's not gonna do anything else, and you've got to kind of, I guess, play her a little bit more to the VP point of things. And it's one of those things that it's only going to be once you get the games in that you really start to discover how this character functions and what she's good and bad at. And in my opinion, she's not like just flat out bad at any one thing. She's just not particularly strong. She doesn't particularly have good damage output. She doesn't particularly have strong defenses. So you've got to play to that. And it's one of those things where other characters in similar positions, and again, we talked about it with Cyclops, it's maybe not fair to compare one for one the high end of the spectrum versus other characters, but like if you look at other characters that are kind of have some similar kit, they have other tools to help them survive, or they have other mm-hmm. tools to help them ramp their damage or help their power generation. Whereas Storm here doesn't really have the extra survivability, doesn't really have the extra power gen stuff.
Yeah.
So she's kind of in that weird place, and you've kind of got to shoehorn in her utility, I think.
Yeah.
So that's all super convoluted way to put all of that, but she's a character that I think has some untapped potential, and it comes from a place of, how do you use this character outside of just thinking about the leadership? How mm-hmm. how can we maximize the utility of this character outside of that? And then we're cooking with gas. So all of that to say now, Alexa, affiliations. Other than X-Men, what do you think Storm could play in?
I think she does have a little bit of play in Wakanda for allowing them to go 6 white earlier in points value.
Mm-hmm. But she's affiliated there, so that makes sense. I like that. Other than that, I mean, A-Force is interesting with her. Mm-hmm. I think that she can fit there nicely. There's other three-threat characters that you might want more, but she's affiliated with A-Force, so you get that. And then she can definitely benefit from the power bonus. I mean, being mm-hmm. able to have the Eye of the Storm pretty much ready right away is going to be a lot of benefit. Like if she just had that access to that sooner, then that's where she gets really interesting, in my opinion. Because then you've upped her damage potential. You've made it so that shock can be applied pretty readily. And then also you turn on Ice Blizzard really well. And I think Ice Blizzard is a really good attack when it's boosted by Eye of the Storm because stun is so strong. So mm-hmm. I think A-Force is a really nice place for her. And She-Hulk loves cheap characters because, I mean, you know, if you're not doing the whole She-Hulk Angela thing, being able to have other three-threat characters in the game with you is nice because you get to spread out a little bit, which is my personal play style, is to play more wide than, you know, tall.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the right word.
The other place I would like, I think she has interesting possibilities, is Mystique leadership as a mostly stealth-heavy list.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think that there's some play around all stealth characters. Like, there's a way to make a list that could be affiliated somewhere that's nothing but stealth characters.
I don't think we have it quite yet.
We're getting
maybe
close.
Maybe in Sin Cabal.
That's what I was thinking. I think Sin Cabal might could do it. I'd have to check. But that could be really interesting, and forcing your opponent to have to really come into these characters could be really strong.
Especially if you're forcing white scenarios.
Exactly. Exactly. So think about that when you're playing Storm. And again, spoiler alert a little bit. There will be some fun announcements coming up next week around, I said Cyclops earlier, but also X-Men in general. So be ready for that. And I'm really excited to do all of that stuff. And Lexa, final thoughts here on Storm. Let's get Nate's favorite question. Better, worse, stay the same. I'll let you start with this one.
I think she's gotten worse.
Why is that?
I think the models that have come out for X-Men recently has favored Cyclops' style of play more than Storm's style of play. And that was her only real niche, was in being the leader of X-Men. And now that is becoming less and less common because the Cyclops style of play is starting to pull up more, especially with, not necessarily because of his leadership, but because of the rest of his card and the fact that he's a leader. I think that is like grasping away the thing that made her valuable in a sense.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting. So I think she stayed about the same because of the new things that have come out with X-Men. So it's interesting that you say that, because I've got a little bit of a different take on it, in that I think that a character like Cable, while benefits Cyclops a lot in terms of affiliated, because Cable generally has power to spend to give optic devastations to Cyclops, stuff like that. Like, I'm just using that as one example. But I think that Cable benefits from Storm's leadership in terms of his survivability, because while he has the telekinetic shield, I'm going to tell you, after playing a ridiculous amount of Cable, he is not as tanky as you might think, in my experience. So playing with a Storm that can allow him to be a, you know, play at that further back, but also be safer and get that extra cover benefit, I think is really nice. With that being said, it also, her placement effects and shenanigans are good for him as well. So I think that she's stayed about the same. She hasn't, you could use that as a case for gotten better, but that's done nothing to improve her as a character. So I think that there's other pieces that have come out that maybe benefit a little bit from her leadership and that do some interesting things, but nothing that I would say is a full on, she's better now. I don't think she's worse per se, but I don't think she's any better. I think she's kind of just where she is, where she has been. And, you know, we'll see if going forward anything else comes out with X-Men that can kind of lift her up a little bit.
Yeah.
And Lexa, I think that about wraps us up here. So where can people find you?
I am Lexa White on all the MCP discords, G-Jupt on all the non-MCP discords. I have a podcast about MCP and uplifting lesser used characters called Morlocks that you can find on wherever you can find podcasts. And yeah, that's the two big ones right there.
Yeah, definitely go check out Morlocks. It's a really great time. And it's really fun to hear the takes that people come up with on that show, because it's one of those things that the idea of the lesser used character in this game is only going to get broader, because we are just getting pumped out characters, which is a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good thing. But there are characters that are going to be overlooked. And two of the characters that we talked about today, I think, are characters that are somewhat overlooked at this point. And I'm with you, Lexa, in that I think Cyclops is kind of getting a little come up. I think Storm can get one we just have to kind of see, and I'm excited to get some more games in with these characters, because I played a good bit of Storm back when all these characters first came out, and then I've played a little bit more since X-Force came out, because I was like, how can I try to like have my dual affiliation list and go crazy, right? So done all that, and I still feel like there's some untapped potential there, and I encourage anyone listening to this, like, I hope we didn't poo-poo either of these characters too much. I know Lexa put some silver linings on Cyclops, and maybe both of us poo-pooed Storm just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to discourage people from trying out these characters, because ultimately, I think that they are fine on the tabletop. They bring some unique elements to the tabletop. And if you love mutants and you love the X-Men in general, I don't think they're bad characters. Like, I don't think Storm is a bad character. I just think that she's a character that is kind of at odds with herself. And that's okay. And that's okay. She's a character that's going to be a high skill floor and high skill ceiling character. So go into it with that kind of thought process. Same thing with Cyclops. I think Cyclops' skill floor is enormous, because being able to get the maximum utility out of, like you said, his quick draw, out of hit and run, out of field leader, trying to manipulate all of that is the most important thing with him as a character. So, yeah, check these characters out. Get some games in with them. Let us know what y'all think of these two characters. Let us know if there was anything that we overlooked. And you can let us know by sending us an email at housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com. You can also send us messages in our Discord if you're a part of that. And if you want to know more about our Discord and whatnot, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/housepartyprotocol. And it'll cost you $1 a month, $12 a year to come and hang out. And I don't do this all the time because I just forget. But thank you so much to all the patrons over there. Like, I am beyond humbled that everyone that supports this show, I cannot express that gratitude in words, but it means the world to me. And if you're wondering about kind of what all our Patreon does, I don't think I've said this in a while either. We never hide anything behind a paywall. So if you come over to our Patreon, it's literally just because you want to support the show and have some conversations. That's literally it. And I think it's important for me to kind of keep everything above board in that way. So I appreciate everyone over there. And Lexa, I really appreciate you, and I appreciate you coming on and doing the show with me, and I'm really excited for some things to come, you know?
Yeah. No, I think there's a lot of exciting things to come, especially brewing in the underground.
Exactly. And make sure to hit us up on Facebook, send us messages over there. We love talking to you guys, and stay tuned for an upcoming giveaway announcement, because we're going to be doing one of those again soon. And we're just kind of waiting on Amazing Spider-Man to come out in the United States. Keeps getting pushed back, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're going to keep waiting for another 6 months.
Stop
let me
it.
Tell you.
Stop it. Don't put that evil on me. With that, party on, Lexa.
Party on, well.
And power down suits.